just about 25 minutes after the hour. I'm Shelley Delaney. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. And all three of my next guests are here to talk about the Juno Symphony with the opening season opener this weekend. There's Stan Lujan, Juno Symphony Board President, Dr. Dwayne Corbin, our guest conductor up from Portland, Oregon, and Lisa Abias, from violin soloist from Juno, currently in Fairbanks. Welcome, all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, Juno Symphony, getting the kickoff weekend. Are you guys excited? Is everybody ready?
Very excited. Very excited. Great to have Dwayne here as well. He's been up here before.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm excited to be able to be part of the first concert of the season, which was delayed this year because of the Princess Sophia opera. And so it just goes to show one of the many ways that Juno works together between arts organizations. The symphony was willing to delay the start of the show of the season so that Sophia could happen in October. And that was an amazing success. And so we're ready to pick up on the energy of that and just start with our season opener here.
Great. And what's special about this the season's opener?
Yeah, there's a lot of things special about the show. The biggest thing, of course, is that Lisa's back in town.
Yay,
and
Lisa.
She is a local legend. And so you want to say a couple things about
Lisa,
your pieces?
Yeah, Lisa, tell us about yourself, your local legendary, and what you'll be doing this weekend.
So I've been with the symphony since 1982.
It's a long time.
So, yeah, I'm one of the longtime symphony members, and I've been away from at school up in Fairbanks for the last year and a half, and they asked me to come back and play a solo this concert. So I'll be playing a piece called Fratres by Arvo Pärt and the Rondo Capriccioso by Saint-Saëns.
Terrific. So I don't know that much about classical music, but your solo, is it just you playing? No one in the band backing you up? Or are you just kind of like the lead?
Yeah, it's a solo in front of the orchestra. So the Pärt is a for violin, string orchestra, and percussion, and then then it's full orchestra with the Saint-Saëns.
And we'll hear one of those pieces in just a bit. When and where is the symphony taking place?
Symphony's taking place this Saturday. The concert is at 8 o'clock at night, and it's at JDHS Auditorium. And there will be a pre-concert talk an hour before that at 7 p.m. And then on Sunday, we have the repeat concert, and that will be again at JDHS. And we'll have a pre-concert discussion with the conductor and the audience at 2 o'clock.
And a concert at 3 o'clock.
And a concert at 3 o'clock right after that.
Terrific. Right. And so what is the talk cover? What do you guys discuss?
Yeah, the pre-concert talk is a way to sort of break down a little bit of the barrier of classical music and the formality of the stage and the tuxedos and all the fancy, you know, applause now, clap now, but no, wait, don't applaud in this part. You know, sometimes people get a little worried about that, and there is a lot of kind of tradition of orchestra music. And the pre-concert talk is just this time where Lisa and I will be up there talking about the music, kind of like what we're doing right now, and just sort of sharing our feelings and our observations about the music to allow the audience to connect to the music at a little deeper level. It's open seating during that time, so you can just come right up to the front of the stage, and it's a little bit more of an intimate gathering. I'll play some clips of the music to just sort of highlight some things that I think the audience could listen for to make it more interesting during the show. Because let's face it, I mean, the second half of the concert with the Dvorak Symphony, it's 38 minutes of music. And there's three little breaks in there, but still, it's a lot of music in one chunk. And sometimes, you know, it's really helpful to know what should I listen to, or how could I, you know, stay connected to this music through it so that I don't miss something exciting about it. It also gives a time to just hear musicians talk about what we do. Sometimes there's a question of, really, what does a conductor do? What does a soloist do? What does the concertmaster do? Or how do we prepare? So there's a little bit of open Q&A time in that pre-concert talk where people can just ask in a safe environment whatever they want. And sometimes kids might ask a question, and that's a lot of fun, or people who've been going to the symphony for 50 years, and they say, I've always wanted to know X, Y, Z, whatever. and that's the chance to do it. So Juno has a good tradition. A lot of people show up to these pre-concert talks, and so they're well-received. And so come. It'll be fun.
I feel like we've got our own pre-concert talk going
right
here. I can ask anything I want.
You can.
And what I want to ask is about the title of the season opener concert, Symphonic Songs. what does that mean? What is on the playlist or
yeah.
this concert list?
No, it's okay. It's okay. I chose the title Symphonic Songs because all the pieces on the concert are connected to vocal music somehow, even though there's no voice being used in it in our performance. So we're starting with America the Beautiful, the famous patriotic song, of course, in honor of Veterans Day, which will fall on the day of our concert, of our Sunday concert at least. And so that's the way we can honor the veterans. And then we're doing Bizet Carmen Suite, which is an opera. And the arranger has five selections from there, which are some of the most famous parts of that opera, the famous songs from there. And that's our connection there. Both both the concerto pieces that Lisa are playing have a strong vocal connection to it, especially the Arvo Pärt piece, which is based on like Gregorian chant music. Mm. And then the Dvorak Symphony, he was an opera composer who kind of wrote symphonies when he was bored between operas, even though most people in the audience would know him for his famous New World Symphony, Symphony No. 9, and that one gets played all the time everywhere. In fact, JSO did it a couple years ago here with Troy Quinn. But his Symphony No. 8, he's trying to infuse the sort of folk music element that he likes in his operas into a symphony, meaning basically when it comes down to it, is there a singable melody in this piece or is it a lot of just really complex background parts? But all through the symphony, there's just a beautiful, clear, singable melody. And that's one of the things that makes that piece really stand out to my ear. And so they all worked well together, and that was the kind of title that seemed to bring it all together.
Oh, great. Thank you for explaining that. Lisa, are you feeling pretty ready for your solos?
Are we ever ready?
Great question.
How long have you spent rehearsing?
The Saint-Saëns I've been working on, it's a really virtuosic piece, so I've been working on the Saint-Saëns for over a year. And then the Arvo Pärt, just a few months.
That's still a pretty long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah.
I think Lisa played this piece at the museum a couple of months ago. Is that correct, Lisa?
Yeah. I played it in July here at a recital.
Standing room only. It was just beautiful.
Really?
I hope people come to see just that piece alone.
Absolutely.
It would be just worth coming. It's just spectacular. She's phenomenal. They'll just love her.
If you missed it, you get another chance to see it. And if you saw it once and you loved it, you can come and
see it again.
Right. That's right. That's right.
That's terrific. Okay, so we got all the details on the concert. What else does the JSO have going on?
We have four concerts in total in our season rollout, and each one has its own theme. The January concert has a Russian Romantics theme. The April concert has a Psalms and Fanfare theme, and the June concert has the Boston Pop Salute theme.
Oh,
so
great.
We have themes for each one of them, and the overall overriding theme is Conductors of the Northwest. All of our conductors are from the Northwest, and we just love that. That seems to just package it all together nicely. We have some fundraisers coming up this coming year that are going to be a lot of fun, I think. It's going to be a great way to do some special fundraisers. We have one of our conductors is a flautist, and that'll be a January fundraiser. And he'll be playing with one of our students, Reese Bleakley, and she's a flautist. And so they'll be doing that. We'll be doing that at the Klan House. And that'll be a lot of fun. And then we have a June event with Jessica Cho. She's a Peabody and Juilliard graduate, and she'll be doing Rhapsody in Blue. And we'll have her probably at the Governor's Mansion for a special fundraiser. And then we have Yaniv Attar, who is a classical guitarist, besides coming to be a conductor for that as a guest conductor, and who will be doing a special event at Salt Restaurant. It'll be an alpaca fashion show mixed in with this beautiful music. It'll be wonderful.
Oh, alpaca fashion. Huh?
Yes, Alpaca International. Zia and her company will sponsor that whole thing. They'll bring in all the outfits. They'll hire the models. They'll bring it in. It's all going to be at their cost. Tracy's providing her entire restaurant for this. She's building a showcase ramp, a runway for the models to walk on. She's providing all the appetizers. It's going to be a really nice cooperative venture between the businesses here in Juneau and the Juneau Symphony.
That is so exciting. Mm. I hope all the Symphony fans are listening, and because they've got a lot of great stuff to look forward to. All right. And then also you're searching for a music director. Do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah. This search, this year we have our guest conductors coming up. And during this year we have our selection committee in operation, and they'll be collecting applicants from all over the country, and we call that an open search. Right now we've got about 10 or 12 applicants so far, and we've only posted that about a week or so ago. So we expect somewhere in the neighborhood of 70, 80 applicants altogether. We'll review those applicants, we'll listen to their productions, and we'll vet them, and then at the end we'll nominate, ending up recommending three to come back the following year as guest conductors. Now, we have four main stage concerts, so we'll have the three do one of those, and then we have the Pops concert. We'll bring in a guest conductor for that, so we'll have three finalists. And then at the end of April, we're hoping to select one of those three to come back as our permanent conductor. So it's a three-year process, a long process.
Yeah, very thorough.
Yeah.
But a lot of opportunities, so that's terrific. Thank you so much for all that information. And I do want to mention that we're going to broadcast the symphony this Sunday on KRNN 102.7, our sister station, starting at 3 p.m. I wish we had a little bit more time to talk, but unfortunately we got to wrap up the interview. However, we're going to play a bit of the one of the pieces that you'll be playing, Lisa. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what to listen to? It's a 10-minute song. I can't play the whole thing, but you'll hear the beginning.
So, yeah, Fratres has a couple things that's involved in it. I mean, first is the chant melody that is woven throughout the whole piece, and it's played over and over again. You'll hear something similar to Gregorian chant. And then this piece itself also has what's called, I'm going to totally butcher this word, tintintabuli, which is bells, music based on bells. And so you'll hear different variations of these bells, and just listen for those and see where maybe you might be when you hear those bells.
Thank you very much, and thank you all three of you for coming and giving us all this information about the Juno Symphony and Break a Leg this weekend.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.